Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard. Today on Treasure Top Ministries, how to use the Bible to make SMART goals. SMART. For many individuals and for those in business, there's a time set aside once a year when annual goals are set for the next 12 months. But before goals can be achieved, they must be constructed properly. And that's what we are going to talk about today, how to use the Bible to make SMART goals SMART. Before we dive in, I want you to know it's through your generous giving and from people like you that we can deliver God's word on how to make life work when life doesn't want to work. Your gifts allow us to utilize radio, television, YouTube, Facebook, the internet, and other media outlets to fulfill Matthew 28:19, where Jesus commands us, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We are listener-supported, and I hope you will consider making a financial gift to Treasure Top so that we can continue to provide more hope for more people in the real world through God's Word. Just go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button. We'll share more ways you can connect with us later in the program. Father, thank you that we can meet you today in your Word to come to you for guidance and strength to help us make it through the tough times of what life throws at us. We know as Christians that the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to persevere. The Holy Spirit power is the same power that raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and it's available to everyone who accepts Him as their Lord and Savior. And we also know that you and you alone, Father, are in charge of all outcomes for our lives. We can't save ourselves because we're born sinners and we're still sinners. And your word tells us that all sin must be paid for the wages of sin is death. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future, by spilling His blood and dying on the cross, so that in our next life we go to heaven instead of eternity in hell. And as a pastor, Father, you know that I am in a life or death ministry. Souls hang in the balance. They'll either go to heaven or hell. So please guide me through this message today to speak your word that will open hearts to what you want each of us to receive today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, hi again, everybody. Let me start by asking this question. How rigid are you in terms of the goals you set in your life? You know, you've probably heard the phrase, "it's already set in stone," which usually means one of two things. Either something physically has been permanently set in place, like a building in concrete, or it's a decision that someone has made, meaning there's no turning back. Ever heard anybody say, "what's done is done"? Well, that might be true in some cases with no way to reverse the course of action that was taken. But, you know, in many other cases, there is a guide that serves as I call it a preemptive strike before we have otherwise been forced to either take corrective action or to live with the consequences. I chose the topic today as SMART goals, as who would want anything other than SMART? If you're going to set goals, you want them to work, right? The acronym for SMART, SMART goals, is credited to George Duran in a 1981 paper titled, "There's a SMART, SMART Way to Write Goals and Objectives." Even though the acronym SMART is relatively new, we can draw a lot of guidance on SMART goals from the Bible. The very first goal that should be set is, upon what foundation will the goal sit? If you have a solid foundation, you can build. If you have a weak foundation, you can still build, but after a certain amount of time or weight, that foundation will crack or possibly sink. Think of it like a triangle, where the base of the triangle is the foundation, and on top of that foundation, all other goals are placed. If the bottom of the triangle collapses, so does everything on top. Before you set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. So here are some questions to ask before you set goals. First, who is the supreme authority in your life for your goals? Is it you or is it God? In other words, what is the power behind the driving force of the goal you are setting? If God is your driving force, your supreme authority, Ephesians 3:20 in the Message version of the Bible says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Now, what does that mean, within us, His Spirit? Well, we have to go back to the previous four verses to get a full understanding, and I'm going to highlight one of those, verse 16. John MacArthur puts it this way, quote, "Spiritual power is a mark of every Christian who submits to God's Word and Spirit. It is not reserved for some special class of Christian, but for all those who discipline their minds and spirits to study the Word, understand it, and live by it. Although the outer physical person becomes weaker with age, 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day, the inner spiritual person should grow stronger through the Holy Spirit, who will energize, revitalize, and empower the obedient, committed Christian," end quote. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Romans 8:5-9, "For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So if God is your driving force, your supreme authority to empower all of your goals, we've just learned that God can do anything. If your goals honor Him and your goals are His will for your life, then you will have the Holy Spirit power inside you to lead you and guide you. Like I said in a previous message, if we rely on self-power, our batteries will eventually run down, and so will we. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we are continually charged up. Yeah, we may have some down days and be tired from time to time, but the power to persevere will not leave us. Zechariah 4:6 says in the NCV, "You will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord all-powerful." Jesus spoke of the power and significance of the Holy Spirit to His disciples before His crucifixion when He said to them about the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I said to you." Jesus is referring to all of the things that He taught the disciples while He was on earth. That same Holy Spirit is available to you when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to do is accept Him in your heart when God prompts you to do so. Again, Zechariah 4:6 in the New Century Version of the Bible says, "You will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord all-powerful." If you are wondering how or when does the Holy Spirit come upon you, this happens at the time of conversion, meaning that when someone accepts Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into that person instantaneously. The Holy Spirit is the same as the Spirit of God who transforms and empowers God's people. People who are not Christians, meaning they have not accepted Christ, they don't have that power of the Holy Spirit in them. Much like a boat without a rudder, someone without the benefit of the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them will oftentimes wind up lost or in a ditch wondering, "How in the world did I get here?" They got there because they chose to live in the flesh, meaning what satisfies the flesh and feels good, as opposed to the wise counsel of the Holy Spirit, doing things that are heavenly-minded, which may not feel good on earth, but are rewarded in heaven. An example is the act of adultery. It feels good and may be exciting on earth, but it's morally wrong and not rewarded in heaven. Which brings up this question I've been asked. If someone does commit adultery, can they go to heaven? Because one of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not commit adultery." The short answer is yes, someone can go to heaven even if they have committed adultery, but only if someone has accepted Christ and repents, that means to turn away from, the sin of adultery and confesses their sin. Why is that? How can that be possible? Because Christ paid for, get this word, all of our sins, not just some of our sins, for all of those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that good news? If you have not already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, why would you want to wait? You can be forgiven for everything you've done in your life. Now, there will be a point when it will be too late to accept Christ. And if that happens, if you die before accepting him, your next stop is eternal life in hell. So I urge you now, if God is moving in your heart, for only he can draw and save you, I can't save you, no other pastor or other person on earth can save you, accept him now before it's too late. Back on the topic, before you set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. Question number two that you must ask yourself is, who is going to run my life? Am I going to let others decide, or am I going to decide? The Bible teaches that for us to be spiritually mature, we have to set goals and we have to move toward them. The Apostle Paul, as recorded in Philippians 3:12, verses 14 to 15, in the CEV said, "I have not yet reached my goal and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven." This is the prize God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. All of us who are mature should think in this same way. And if any of you think differently, God will make it clear to you. What Paul is saying is, we have to be honest with our goals. In other words, that we're serious about pursuing our goals in ways that honor the Father in order to be Christ-like. And that in order to do that, there has to be a current dissatisfaction with our present circumstances. Have you ever been dissatisfied with your present circumstances? Christ chose Paul to conform Paul to his glorious image. Romans 8:29, speaking about God, quote, "And he has always known who his chosen ones would be. He had decided to let them become like his own son, so his son would be the very first of many children," end quote. To be like Christ is the goal Paul pursued. And by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are made perfect in his eyes, not by anything we have done, but by what he has done, his sacrificing his own life on the cross, spilling his blood, and blood is the symbol of life, to pay for our sins, past, present, and future. He became a substitute for all of our sin to make us reconcilable to the Father, because all sin has to be paid for, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He took your place and my place and paid for all of our sins for those who are Christians. Next, before you set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. Brings up question number three that you must ask yourself. And that question is, how do I know what God wants me to do? Well, we find the answer in Joshua 1:8 in the NASB, when Joshua was given the dream of taking over the promised land, a goal that would take him the rest of his life. God spoke these words to him, quote, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success." God wants you to read his word, and God wants you to be successful. You've heard me say this before: to get the word of God, you have to get in the word of God. And if you've never read the Bible, or maybe you have a little bit, here's a good way to get started. Psalm 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Now, what this means is we should meditate on God's word and find joy in studying and applying God's word to our lives. And you can put a Bible app on your phone or have a Bible nearby where you can read scripture each day. Start out by reading one chapter in the book of Proverbs each day. It has all the wisdom you will ever need to apply in your life. And reading time will be about 10 minutes a day. And then read one chapter in the book of John each day. This book explains the meaning of Jesus Christ and why he came to earth, why it matters, what it means to you. And that reading time in the book of John will take about 10 minutes. Again, to get the word, you've got to get in the word. And let me offer this bit of advice. Before you start reading the Bible, ask God to speak to you and to point out what He wants you to understand and what He wants you to do today from His word that you read. Asking God will help you set goals, then honor Him. I've heard a lot of people say, and it happens to me as well, every time I read or reread the Bible or a certain chapter of the Bible, I see things that I did not see before. Sometimes this is God's way of illuminating what He wants you to concentrate on. Let's say you have a problem with anger. It just seems it doesn't take very much to set you off, especially if it's a family member or someone close to you, or it could be a coworker. Your temper is short. You find yourself acting out angrily sometimes before you realize you are angry. Ever happened to you? When you read the book of Proverbs, it has a lot to say about anger. Stanley Porter writes, quote, "In two instances, the writer of James 1:19 and 20, speaks directly of human anger. In a word of direct exhortation, the author instructs his readers to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The reason for this is that human anger is not compatible with the righteousness of God. Next, before you set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. That brings up question number 4 that you must ask yourself. And that question is, am I willing to join a small group to help lift me up, hold me accountable, and stay on track to achieve my goals? Would you agree that it's easy to get off track? We all need people to support us and to help us stay on mission. And next, before you can set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. That brings up question number 4 that you must ask yourself, and that question is, am I willing to join a small group to help lift me up and hold me accountable, stay on track to achieve my goals? Would you agree it's easy to get off track? We all need people to support us and to help us to stay on mission. How about one of the goals we hear a lot about? I'm going to lose weight after the vacation or after Christmas or when New Year's is over. I'm going on a strict diet. How long does that last for most people? But if we have an accountability partner, someone we can talk to each day, someone who will say, okay, today, how much do you weigh today? That helps keep us on track. Maybe it's a goal of, I'm going to be less angry at home with my spouse and utilize the 4-second rule. If you haven't heard about the 4-second rule, I'll come back with that, and you won't want to miss it as it could save your marriage, your career, your relationship with a close friend. I will conclude this message, How to Use the Bible to Make Smart Goals Smart, next. But first, if you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending that we are about to hear, go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you can see a link to this program, How to Use the Bible to Make Smart Goals Smart. That's treasuretop.com, and there you will also see all of our contact information as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up while you're there for our free newsletter. And please consider making a tax-deductible donation in any amount to help us continue to deliver messages like these, as we must pay for all of our media placement of messages. Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website. Now back to the message. So before you can set a goal, you have to prepare for a goal. This brings us up to question number 5 that you must ask yourself, and that question is, am I willing to join a small group to help lift me up, to hold me accountable, to help me stay on track to achieve my goals? By yourself, you most likely will not be able to accomplish your goals. Realizing a dream requires a team. It's like if you played football in the NFL, it's not just one person who crosses the goal with the ball, it's a team effort. Ecclesiastes 4:12 in the New Living Translation says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. What that verse is saying is that you are defenseless on your own. You can face the worst when you have a friend. A small group of people can help you. A large crowd can't. The members of your small group will be aware of what's going on in your life, areas that you're struggling with, your health status, maybe your job situation, other personal things. A small group can be a safe place to discuss what really matters in your life and the setbacks that you've suffered. To set and achieve the correct kinds of goals that honor the Father, you will need your small group's assistance. We were talking a few minutes ago about the 4-second rule to apply to a situation that affects many people who say, I'm going to be less angry. That's my goal. I'm going to be less angry at home with my spouse, and I'm going to utilize the 4-second rule. Now, the 4-second rule is not in the Bible, but before I explain the 4-second rule, and I believe the 4-second rule is one of the greatest goals and the hardest goals you can ever set in your life, one way to remember the 4-second rule is to know that God gave us 2 ears and 1 tongue. 2 ears and 1 tongue should mean we listen twice as much as we speak. But most people don't do that. And there's more to the goal of the 4-second rule than just listening twice as much as we speak. So here's how it works, the 4-second rule, and yes, it can save your marriage, your job, or a close relationship with a friend. What's the first thing we want to do when we disagree with someone? Many times it's to cut them off, interrupt them from finishing what they had to say, try to correct them, and then what does the other person do to you when you begin to speak? Same thing, talking on top of you, interrupting you, trying to correct you. And the first thing you know, you're in this heated argument. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I think it should be a goal on everyone's SMART goals list. So there you go. You already have one goal about to be set, and I would say this one needs to be set in stone. Set this ground rule before your next discussion, and both parties must agree to abide by this principle. Are you ready? You tell the other person, you know, when we have a discussion, oftentimes we just end up in arguments, our voices become louder, we start talking on top of each other while the other one's speaking, and we just go away with no real resolution other than just being mad or upset. So here's what we both need to agree to do. I'll start, or you can start, and you just speak whatever is on your mind, whatever has you upset about me or whatever it is that you think I need to know that I'm not doing a good job on or just whatever it is. And while you are speaking, I will commit not to interrupt you no matter how mad I might be or something that I want to say. And then when I hear 4 seconds of silence, that means you are through talking and it's my turn to speak uninterrupted. And when you hear 4 seconds of silence, then we repeat. While you are speaking, I will not interrupt you, no matter what. And so we just continue on and on until we've said everything we need to say. Very simple. When you hear 4 seconds, it's the next person's time to talk, and no interruption while that person's speaking. Now, it's kind of difficult to wait 4 seconds. It seems like an eternity. But I tell you another benefit to it, and that is it really makes you concentrate on what it is that someone said, because oftentimes we're spending more time thinking about what we're going to say next than what that person is saying. And that's why these arguments come up and why they just really are never resolved. You'll be amazed at how adherence to the 4-second rule serves as a prerequisite, a warm-up to the success of formulating and working through SMART, SMART goals that we're getting ready to discuss. Now that we have laid the foundation of prerequisites for goal setting, a foundation that will not falter, let's dive into the acronym SMART, which stands for SMART goals. S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A stands for agreed upon, R stands for results oriented, and T in the acronym SMART stands for time sensitive. Let's take the example of the 4-second rule that we were discussing earlier and see how the 4-second rule can be a SMART goal that is specific, measurable, agreed upon, results-oriented, and time-sensitive, SMART. The S, which stands for specific, both parties agree to observe the 4-second rule. Again, the 4-second rule is, while you are speaking, I will not interrupt you. And when I hear 4 seconds of silence, that means you are through talking and it's my turn to speak. The specific goal is no interrupting of each other. The M in the acronym stands for measurable. In the case of the 4-second rule, it means each party waits 4 seconds after the other party has stopped speaking before speaking. The A in the acronym stands for agreed upon. And in this case, the SMART goal is that both parties agree to use the 4-second rule in conversation. The R stands for results-oriented. What both parties are looking to do is to have a meaningful conversation without interrupting each other and going away angry. And the T stands for time-sensitive in the acronym SMART, and we would apply the T of SMART goals as a result to be achieved in each conversation, that within the time frame of the conversation, using all of the elements of a SMART, SMART goal, what may have otherwise led to days of arguments can now be handled in one or two God-honoring, respectable conversations. The best goal that I can recommend setting is a goal that has eternal implications, because all of us will die a physical death on earth, and all of us will enter a second life for eternity. The question is, will it be eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, followed by the lake of fire? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will descend upon you instantly, and you will have the same power in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that Holy Spirit power will help lead, fulfill, and sustain goal setting that we've been speaking about in this message. I hope you got something out of our time together today, either for yourself or for a friend. And if so, would you consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top? We are listener-supported, which means we pay for all of our programs because media outlets do not offer free time slots. There are three ways to give your tax-deductible donation. You can go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button at the top of the screen, or you can text your donation with the word Give to 844-553-1590. That's the word Give to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can mail your gift to P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to spread the saving grace of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear your Word today. For those who are struggling with how to make new goals and how to make them work this year when most of them don't seem to last very long, help us to understand that our goal setting needs to line up with your will for our lives, as you know our future. And we know that we must rid ourselves of our sins and repent, turn away from, in order to hear from you. We pray for wisdom and discernment to know what to do next. And we know that no sinner can ever make the first move in the salvation process of being saved. You alone are the one who saves us, not us saving ourselves. And Father, for those who don't know you, for those who have not accepted your Son as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you will move in their hearts, for we know that it is you who controls outcomes. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.